SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two of a Wednesday Live right here on the Early Line. Two more hours to go up until 11 a.m. Eastern. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. And DRS, the opening night of the NHL regular season, is now in the books. Day number two with six games on the docket around the ice and game number two of the WNBA Finals in Las Vegas. DRS, a focus on Vegas this week. The Raiders win on Monday Night Football against the Packers. The defending Stanley Cup champs, the Golden Knights, open up their season, raising the banner with a 4-1 victory over the Kraken. And as we all know, it's very hard to win a game in the Michelob Ultra Arena in downtown Las Vegas. It's the Aces and the Liberty in game number two, with the Aces holding a 1-0 series in advantage. DRS, where would you like to begin? A little bit more puck talk into the WNBA Finals. You tell me.
Yeah, let's go a little WNBA Finals here, because this is the series that everybody wanted to see, and certainly starting to take a look and saying, whoa, are we going to get a sweep in the series from the Aces? I don't think that's going to happen, but if we're talking about must wins tonight, doesn't it feel like one for the New York Liberty? We're not talking about a 7-game series, a 5-game series. You go down 0-2, which means you got to win 3 games in a row against the Aces. I don't think that's going to be able to happen. And also, what are the Liberty thinking here? Having a lead, Ben, in game number one at the break, and then getting the break beat off them in the second half. That can't continue tonight. And also, will it be in the back of the Liberty's mind, Ben, if they do have another lead at the half, going like, hey, we've been here, done that before, let's just not let this slip away. Big night tonight here for the Liberty. Must win for me.
Let's welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here. Hour number two of three live on the Early Line on this Wednesday. Sirius XM, channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He's Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. And DRS, let us right to it. A preview of game number two of the WNBA Finals tonight. The Aces, the defending champs, trying to go back-to-back for the first time since the early 2000s. And the LA Sparks accomplished that feat as the WNBA title winners. DRS, the Aces won game number one, 99-82, but you mentioned it, the Libs had a lead at the halftime break. Donnie, that was the sixth time these two super teams in this new super team era in the W had faced off this year. Four times in regular season action, the Commissioner's Cup final midway through that regular season in the summer with a trophy at stake. The Liberty won that. They had won three of those five meetings prior to this finals matchup. Now the two teams have split their six meetings, but Donnie, it hasn't been exactly close. New York had the lead at the break in game number one, but all six games now have been decided by 9 or more points. 5 of the 6, Donnie, at least 13 points that margin in favor of either side. A 17-point victory margin for Las Vegas on Sunday, 99-82, easily covering as a 4.5-point favorite. It's a 5.5-point number, DRS, in favor of the Aces at home tonight, where, as you have coined, DRS, the Michelob Ultra Arena, a difficult place to go on the road and escape with a victory. The Aces, a perfect 5-0 now at home throughout this postseason, 19-1 in Sin City throughout this regular season as well.
I mean, imagine, Ben, tonight if there's also dollar beer night inside the arena tonight. Oh. Get it popping and started early here on the parting in Vegas. If I'm looking at this game objectively, I'm going to take the same approach as in game one. You take a look at the Liberty on the FanDuel Sportsbook, plus 148 money line to win the first half. And the reason I bring that up is because if you're on the road, it's hard enough to win anyway. You're fighting that crowd as is. Do we really think that it's going to be a carbon copy game where you say, okay, the Liberty are up in the first half and losing the second half? Maybe. But the one thing I doubt is here that the Aces are up 8 points at the break and blow that second half lead at home. If we think the Liberty are going to win this basketball game, for me, Ben, they better be up at the half. And that doesn't necessarily mean you can win the game. It just means you're in it to win it with a legitimate chance in the second half. So instead of just taking the full game plus 5.5, I'm going to look to the Liberty money line first half plus 148. If they're not up in the break, they're not winning this game. That's just my opinion.
Love the look, DRS. Love the look. And hopefully one of these games is competitive down to the wire of the fourth quarter, because none of the six previous between the Liberty and the Aces has been so far. DRS, it's not just the super teams battling it out tonight in game number two of the WNBA Finals. It's the two most recent WNBA MVP winners. Asia Wilson a year ago, Breanna Stewart this year in her first year in New York. Asia Wilson finished third in the voting, and some had a big issue with it. Even Wilson saying it hurts like hell. 21.5 her points prop tonight. 9.5 boards for Asia Wilson. She is an odds-on favorite at minus 145 to win the WNBA Finals MVP award. She had 19 points, 8 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks in game number 1. A little bit of everything, DRS, in that sample size. Stewie, 20.5 is her points prop. 8.5 the rebounding number. Breanna Stewart, 21 points, 9 boards in game number one. DRS, for the Aces in game one, it was Kelsey Plum and Jackie Young both leading the game apiece with 26 points. That was the story for the Aces. The Liberty a little bit more balanced. They're going to need more of that balance tonight against Las Vegas to even the series at one game all.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's not going to be any nerves at this point. Both of these teams probably knew they were on a collision course from day number one of the season. And now that we're here, I just want to see how the Liberty respond, because you can't get waxed two games. Yep. And you could say, okay, we're going home, but it's not a longer series as a 7-game. If it's only a 5-game series, you better make hay, which means a split, and you better hope you don't have to go back to Las Vegas for game number 5. It's a must-win game tonight for the Liberty. Otherwise, this series is all but over. I just need that performance to be a little bit better, Ben, in the first half. Give me the Liberty in the first half, and they win there. I don't care if they win the game or the series after that. Why? Because we're cashing tickets. That's what it's all about.
New York plus 148 in that first half as the money line underdog. Right now, the Aces, a hefty favorite to make it two consecutive WNBA championships, minus 440 for Las Vegas in that series outright price. Speaking of championships, DRS, the opening night of the NHL, it's day number two on the ice. The Colorado Avalanche are the favorites to win the cup this year, plus 850. The Hurricanes only backed by 50 cents at 9-1. The Edmonton Oilers, a 10-1 price, led by the Hart Trophy favorite, the NHL MVP from a season ago, Connor McDavid. The Avalanche on the road tonight, DRS, to start off their season in Los Angeles. It was the Avs, of course, winning the Stanley Cup 2 years ago, expected to do the same last year, but they got off to a really slow start in the opening few weeks of the season. Tonight, minus 122 on that money line against the Kings in L.A.
Yeah, long season, as we know, in the NHLs. They're going to play long right season through June. And if you're one of those teams that expects here to be winning a Stanley Cup, it's always nice to get started off on the right foot here. See, the Avalanche is a slight favorite at minus 122 here up against the Kings. It's interesting to me because a lot of these games are priced out, Ben, the total of 6.5, which means you need 7 goals to cash tickets. But as we know from watching the NHL year to year, they call more penalties in the beginning of the season, which means more power play opportunities. Therefore, those numbers are quite high.
The Oilers also on the road in Vancouver tonight against the Canucks. Connor McDavid and company, a minus 156 road money line favorite. For McDavid to score a goal, DRS, it's minus money, minus 115. We'll keep it in the Pacific Northwest, but for the Pac-12 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Donnie, right side, it is a monumental weekend in the Pac-12. Week number 7 of the college football campaign here in 2023. DRS, we're at the halfway point so far this college football season in the final year of normalcy, in the final year of the Pac-12 conference. And what a way to go out with a bang, Donnie. It's been the story since the preseason, now playing out halfway through the regular season. 7 Pac-12 teams ranked, Donnie, all within the top 20 in the AP poll entering week number 6. And that is the most 7 of any league in the country inside the top 20. And DRS, a focus, of course, will be on Seattle. Midway through Saturday afternoon, 3:30 p.m. Eastern time. It's Washington and Oregon. The Huskies, a 2.5-point favorite. But, Donnie, as we look at the odds right now in the Pac-12, all season long, in the preseason, even throughout the offseason, it wasn't Oregon or Washington booked as the favorites. It was USC. 3-1 now the price on the Trojans, as the Ducks and the Huskies co-favorites at 2-1. A drop off to Oregon State at 9-1. The Beavs have a loss in conference play, as does Utah, the two-time defending conference champions. UCLA lost to Utah, but UCLA beat Washington State. Some carnage DRS, as has been the story in the Pac-12. It's one of the reasons, not the only reason or the primary reason, but one of the reasons, Donnie, this conference hasn't seen an appearance in the college football playoff since Washington did so back in the 2016 college football season.
And by the way, the odds makers are cheating here, Ben. Oregon, plus 200. Oh. Washington, plus 200. Make a decision here. Come on now. And the reason being is, obviously, we know those two teams are going to be playing this weekend with a line of 3 or less. So it is a de facto coin flip. But I do think they got it right with Oregon and Washington being a level above the competition in the Pac-12, regardless of what happens this weekend, and USC being at a 3-1 price. They just haven't shown up yet on defense here. Maybe they'll get it turned around. But quite frankly, the competition only gets harder, and the offense is only get better going up against USC. So we'll see how many effectively they do give up. But if I'm just being objective with myself, I think Oregon is the better overall team here in the Pac-12. But as we just talked about with the Philadelphia Eagles and the 49ers, it matters where you play these games. What a huge home field advantage if it was in Austin, which it's not. It's at Husky Stadium. That's a huge advantage for Washington here. Even as I said, I think Oregon overall technically is the better team.
Washington has hosted Oregon, of course, plenty of times, as the two have been members of the Pac-10 to the Pac-12. The Huskies have only knocked off the Ducks twice since the year 2000 in Seattle, yet they're favored to do so this year. UW a 2.5-point favorite, and Donnie, you can see what we are expecting offensively. 67.5 is that point total. Now, it makes sense when you look at Washington with the nation's second-leading passer and now the Heisman Trophy favorite in Michael Penix Jr. He has thrown for at least 309 yards, Donnie, in every game so far this year for Washington. All six of them on this perfect, or five of them on this perfect 5-0 start. Both teams coming off the bye, Donnie, entering this matchup week number 7. But here's the only difference. Oregon is the best defense currently in the Pac-12, one of the 5 best passing defenses in the country. They only allow about 155 yards per game through the air, so it is the best secondary that Penix Jr. and Roma Dunze and Jalen McMillan and Jalen Polk have all seen this season. I actually thought, Donnie, the reason I like Washington to win the Pac-12 before the year was not just because of the potent offense under Kalen DeBoer, but I thought the Huskies had the most talent on the defensive side of the football. They've been putting up so many points and operating at such a pace. The defense really hasn't been tested this year, so they've allowed their fair share as well. It's the biggest test for Washington's offense against Oregon's really good defense and that secondary mainly. It's also Washington's defense best test about against Bo Nix, Troy Franklin, and the rest the Ducks have to bring offensively.
And by the way, Jalen McMillan looks like he's coming back for this football game as well. So full go in that Washington offense, which is going to be so much fun to watch. But the thing that certainly pops out is both of these teams are 5-0. Both of these teams are really good. But Oregon, 51-11 is the average score of those first 5 games. They move it on the ground. Yeah. Almost 225 yards on the ground per game, 7 yards per carry. And say, oh, yeah, that's probably good. What'd they throw for maybe 2.25 a game? No, 334 yards per game. So you're looking at almost 500, over 550 yards per game, and it's sliced almost right down the middle with a dominant running game and a dominant passing game here. It'll be interesting to see how the defense of Washington holds up, and that's why you bring in home field advantage. That place is going to be insanely loud, and if you're running an up-tempo offense, you're trying to look at the sideline and get those calls in, maybe some of those things will be interrupted. But I'm really interested in Michael Penix Jr. It's one of those showcase games. Kid, you want to win the Heisman Trophy, go beat Oregon on this national stage and do it in style. And he's throwing for, the offense is throwing for close to 450 yards per game. I can't wait to see him stand up under that pressure. And as I've said, I still think Oregon's the better team, but I love this environment. I got to tell you right now, I'm rolling with the Huskies this weekend. I am.
DRS, when you look at Oregon as an underdog, since Dan Lanning took over last year at the start of 2022, only twice, but they're 0-2. Some of that swayed a little bit by them getting routed in the opener last year by Georgia, 49-3, but they have lost both of their games. They were not expected to win. Oregon is one of three teams, Donnie, out of the 14 remaining unbeaten that has not only won all five of their games, but covered in all five as well. And, of course, they've been booked as a favorite in all five. The Ducks are 8th in the country. Washington is 7th in the country. Washington, slightly a worse price, Donnie, at plus 280 than that of the Ducks. To reach the college football playoff, it's plus 270. But, of course, they are co-favorites to win the Pac-12, and those odds will move drastically based on the result in Seattle on Saturday. Again, as good of a game as you could hope for, middle of October, 7 versus 8, a 2.5-point spread with a total of 67 and a hook. Now, Donnie, maybe you looked at the conference odds in the Pac-12 and said to yourself, guys, USC's a perfect 6-0. Why are they now moving back in those conference prices? Well, USC has been tested up, down, and sideways defensively the last 3 weeks. They are now 3-1 because they allowed 28 points against Arizona State, then 41 points against Colorado, and then needed three overtimes to edge out Arizona with a backup quarterback, mind you, as a 21.5-point favorite at the Coliseum in downtown LA late on Saturday night. Now, it's not a game, DRS, this upcoming Saturday for the Trojans that will move their Pac-12 on all that much, at least based on conference results, but it's one of the marquee matchups each and every year in college football, a historic rivalry and tradition, USC and Notre Dame. The Trojans, DRS, a 2.5-point dog on the road in South Bend, but Notre Dame's lost two of their last three games. In what world, Donnie, could the Trojans be booked as a dog despite having to travel under the watchful eye of Touchdown Jesus?
Yeah, well, it come down to a Bush push at the end of the football game. And this one, we're expecting a lot of points. And quite frankly, if you look at Notre Dame, I know you can't do this. The record is what they say they are. But this, quite frankly, could be rolling into this game on a three-game losing streak had it not been for a couple big-time plays out of Sam Hartman at Duke. But also looking at USC, if we're worried about, you know, Notre Dame, hey, where's that offense been? The offense should get healthy this week just by playing USC's defense. And I'm excited to see going on the road in a big-time environment with a lot of hype around the game. Give me Caleb Williams' performance out here to show us you're the number one overall pick and why you were the Heisman Trophy winner last year. I can't look at a USC game at this point, even if it is Notre Dame struggling a bit on offense, and say to myself, let's take the under here. As long as we're getting good conditions, meaning weather's not too bad, not too windy, not too rainy, we should be getting a lot of points in this game. And Sam Hartman should step up with at least 3 to 4 touchdown passes to try to counter their Caleb Williams.
It is supposed to be a little bit rainy in South Bend on Saturday night. Maybe that affects the total a little bit. And Notre Dame's offense could use all of the good weather. It has been abysmal the last few weeks. DRS elsewhere in the Pac-12, a really big battle for the teams trying to contend for the second conference championship spot. A top 20 tilt in Corvallis, UCLA, and Oregon State. A 3.5-point spread in favor of the Beavs. A matchup of two of the best rushing offenses and rushing defenses in all of college football. Around the NFL we go. Up next here on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to a Wednesday live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. It's Ben, it's Donnie, and now it's Joe Ranieri as well, the hardest working man at the Spiz Grizz. You will see him tonight on Game Time Decisions, filling in for old K-Dubs Kevin Walsh, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And Joe Ranieri taking the courtesy of joining us here on this Wednesday morning. Joe, double duty for you on this Wednesday, man. You never stop, but you know it's the most important time in the sports calendar, and we are incredibly thankful for your time.
Glad to be here, and it's about to get much crazier, guys. This, you know, NHL dropped last night. Let's not forget NBA around the corner, and your favorite, Ben, college basketball will be here before we know it.
Oof.
Joe Ranieri, I just put out my preseason power rankings for the Big Ten and their men's basketball slate this year. I think our boss, Greg Sussman, will be pleased with I have Maryland. He just texted me as I was saying that. That was not planned. I have the Terps at number 3 out of the 14 teams in the Big Ten. We'll save that for another time. Joe, our focus here on this Wednesday to start things off before we dive into the triple header of October baseball action on the diamond coming your way on this Wednesday, of course, is an AFC check-in from those divisional prices. Now, let's start with the AFC West, although we don't have a lovely graphic for it. The Chiefs have won this division 7 consecutive years. The Chiefs are now an overwhelming favorite at about minus, let me go check on this price just to make sure I have it correctly here. Kansas City, minus 360 now to win the AFC West, Joe Ranieri. That means they're going to win this division for 8 consecutive seasons. And who could fault the odds makers? The Chiefs, although not that impressive so far, 4-1. Everybody else in this division, 500 or worse. The Chargers, 2-2. The Raiders, 2-3. And the Broncos, a disaster in Denver, 1-4. So, Joe, it seems as though the Chiefs are on pace to easily win their 8th straight divisional crown. Anything that would cause a hiccup for KC this year, Ranieri?
Well, I feel like this is Groundhog Day. Like, rewind last year, the year prior. It feels like we're saying the same thing all the time. Like, well, you know, really thought this was going to be the year Kansas City falls off. And all the Chargers and Herbert. Oh, don't sleep on the Raiders. And Denver. No, stop it, people. We did this with Tom Brady for how many years? For a decade. We kept waiting for the wheels to fall off of him. We keep waiting for the wheels to fall off of Mahomes. And we play the what if game. The reality is that division has always been... It's like putting Band-Aids the rest of the teams on open heart surgery and thinking everything is okay. All right, this will be the year. No. What the Chiefs do with Patrick Mahomes is a cut above what everybody else does. So unless Mahomes goes down, and even then I've got questions, I don't see how anything is going to stop the Chiefs from, once again, starting slowly this season, but ultimately playing their best football come November.
Yeah, there was a panic that set in a little bit there over the weekend where you thought Kelce might have a more devastating injury than he actually had. Looks like it was an ankle sprain and a lower ankle sprain. He should be fine, so certainly crisis avoided there. If we do take a look at the AFC East, which feels a lot over the past, like the Kansas City Chiefs with 8 straight division championships, as if Tom Brady walked for like 20 years where everybody was incompetent in that division and just handed it over to him. There's a feeling for that. But if we look at the current odds here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Joe, Miami, a minus 130 price, the Buffalo Bills plus 135, then there's the Jets at 16-1 and the Patriots at 41-1. The Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills. Talk to me about number one, the Buffalo Bills. Is this a Jekyll and Hyde team? What are we getting out of them? Looking so bad opening night, then so good the next 3 games, then so bad over in London. What can we expect from them the rest of the way here?
But rinse and repeat. When has this team not been Jekyll and Hyde? It's kind of crazy. Now, granted, a terrible spot for them against Jacksonville in London there. So, you know, take that, throw it out. The Monday night game one affair against the Jets, that anomaly. You know, what we saw, I think, in week 2 and 3 is much more indicative of what this Buffalo team is capable of, although they go to London and they lose half their linebackers in that trip. Now, the good news is they're getting Von Miller back. There is the only, and this remains true with Buffalo, too. Again, Groundhog Day here. The worst enemy of the Buffalo Bills is the Buffalo Bills. They continue to figure out ways to shoot themselves in the foot. They have all the talent in the world to beat Kansas City, to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. But having the talent and executing, as we have seen time and time again, are two different things. Buffalo has to stop getting in Buffalo's way.
As we saw on Sunday against Jacksonville, Josh Allen did throw an interception, and Stephon Diggs did fumble the football. Turnovers have been the only issue holding back this offense this year. But I would still look at that clear tier of 2 in the AFC East. And frankly, as you look elsewhere around the division, it's almost sad, right? We expected this to be one of the most competitive this year because of Aaron Rodgers with the New York Jets, knowing Bill Belichick in the Patriots, even in the post-Tom Brady era. Hey, the offense might not be B grade, but the floor not all that far? Well, it seems as though the elevator has run out for New England, and they have dropped all the way to the cellar. And the Jets, with Zach Wilson, can be competitive at times, but certainly not competing for this divisional crown. The Dolphins now the best record, 4-1, but the Bills have the upper hand, at least in the first game those two teams have played. The AFC North, though, Gerinary, a division where no love is lost, and every game, it seems, is going to be tight and close all year long, now has a division that is following suit. The Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers tied at the top, 3-2. The Steelers actually have that advantage at the moment. Pittsburgh's a perfect 2-0 against the AFC North. The Browns off the bye, even 500, 2-2. And the Bengals did win by 2 touchdowns in the desert on Sunday against Arizona. They're now 2-3. Joe, a lot of us expected this to be the most competitive division in football this year. When do you think this division is decided? Does it come all the way down to week 16, 17, and 18?
When has this division never been about? Because all of these teams are all built to win in December, late November and December in the weather. That's what the AFC North is. They will plot along. You know, Cincinnati will make a push, right? They'll get hot right around middle to the end of this month and then into November. Same thing with the Ravens. All of these teams have giant warts. They all have issues. But the bottom line is they're not really geared to win in September. They're built to win in November and December. So they will continue to exchange wins and losses right up until we get to next month, at which particular point one of those teams will elevate themselves. And I think the Bengals, it's all about Joe Burrow, Cleveland. Mm. It's all about Deshaun Watson, who still hasn't practiced yet this week coming out of the bye. And for Pittsburgh, yeah, let's be realistic here. As long as Matt Canada is calling plays, there is no shot Pittsburgh will win anything.
And by the way, the Ravens let one slip away on Sunday. They let it literally slip through their hands because they couldn't catch a pass. They should have won that game, yeah, which would have been 3 road victories for them in the division to start the season, which would have been a big boon for them. Let's take a look at the AFC South here, and maybe the cream is finally rising to the top. Most of us thought the Jacksonville Jaguars were the most talented team and should win this division. The FanDuel Sportsbook now lists them, Joe, at a minus 120 favorite here. The Titans at a plus 380 price, but the one thing I like about this division is the bottom isn't as bad as maybe we thought it was going to be, with the Colts and the Texans being competitive on a week-to-week basis. Is this the Jags division? Quality wins back-to-back in London, now coming home. Talk to me about this division, where it sits right now after a couple games.
No, that's the problem. They are coming home. They should stay in London because it's the only times they can actually win any damn games. But no, listen, I think it's still Jacksonville's division. I think they start slow, and we have seen this. Forget about what you see in September and early October. They are starting to figure it out there in Jacksonville, which is great. Tennessee is a mess. They're a fraud on a whole lot of levels there. And the other two teams are just too young and too many question marks on both the defense and the offensive side. So this is Jacksonville's division still to win. And I do think eventually they run away with this here by the end of, let's say, first week in November, they will have separated themselves from the rest of the competition in that division.
Joe Ranieri is correct. The Jacksonville Jaguars in the United States of America, 1-2. Across the pond in England, a perfect 2-0. And one of the games on the slate, we only have two games on Sunday that feature a battle of two teams with a winning record. One of them is in the AFC South. It's the 3-2 Jacksonville Jaguars hosting the 3-2 Indianapolis Colts in Duval County. So back at home, no bye, though, after spending back-to-back Sundays in London. Jacksonville has had a time against Indy in Duval County. The Colts have not won, have not beaten Jacksonville in Jacksonville since the 2014 season. And we got the official confirmation on this Wednesday morning, by the way. Anthony Richardson, the rookie quarterback who has been good this year for Indy to start, has been placed on the injured reserve. He is going to miss the next 4 weeks for the Colts, but maybe that's not such a bad thing, at least in terms of being competitive. Gardner Minshew has come in and played pretty well for Indy in both of the games that he has started. they have won two consecutive games. Of course, they knocked off the Ravens in overtime. They held off Tennessee last week in a divisional showdown as well. That's a 4.5 point spread. So the Jags, an odds-on favorite before the year, an odds-on favorite now at minus 120. We go back to the AFC North quickly because the Bengals were plus 150 as the favorites before the year got underway. Now the longest price on Cincy at plus 470. However, just something to keep in mind, the Bengals also started last year 2-3 before they rattled off 11 of their final 12 games with a victory, 8 straight to end out the year. Germanary is not done. Live right here on this Wednesday, a doubleheader for a tripleheader of Major League Baseball playoff game. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Wednesday on the early line. It is a big Wednesday around the bigs in October. A triple header of playoff action. I am Ben. Donnie is here. So too is Joe for a second consecutive segment. Germanary, let's look back quickly on the doubleheader last night in the American League before setting the stage for the three games we have on this Wednesday. Joe, the first team to clinch its ticket into the championship series. The Texas Rangers going to the ALCS, advancing with a victory last night in Arlington. The Rangers, Joe, a perfect 5-0 this postseason, completing the sweep over Baltimore last night, 7-1. Nathan Eovaldi was sensational. Baltimore on the other side couldn't get the offense going. The O's, after a 101-win season, are now done after just three games in the playoffs. Joe, what's your main takeaway from the sweep the Rangers pulled off over the Orioles?
Well, one of the takeaways was never, ever put money on a dude with a man bun who's a starting pitcher in an elimination game. I think maybe that's probably the first takeaway there, is that you want to try to avoid Dean Kremer and his man bun at all costs. Other than that, you got a Texas team that we have seen this from them. We've seen them rattle off 11 straight wins. We've seen them lose 16 straight games and everything in between. They are the most inconsistent team. When everything is going well, you get what you have gotten here over these since the start of the playoffs, right? Just rumbling through Tampa, rumbling through Baltimore. That was the first game they actually won at home in the playoffs because they've never been there. It was the first game they had. So now they're going to have to kind of take a break, which I'm not a giant fan of. I believe when you are rolling, you want to keep playing here. You're not going to want to kind of have any downtime. Look at the Dodgers. Didn't work out all that well for them so far. So I do think they are right now, they have to be considered the best team in the American League, even over Houston at this particular point, just because of how they can score in bunches. Look at that stat right there. 32 runs, only 12 runs allowed. Eovaldi looks like he figured it out again. He's leaving it all out there. The bullpen, even Chapman, it looks good. So it's kind of, they're a scary team, but at the same time, Ben, they're a team that at the drop of a hat can go the other way and won't be able to hit water if they fell out of a boat. Very strange team.
Yeah, one of those teams that we thought would be able to out-hit the opponent, but little do we realize Eovaldi was going to snap back to form, and also getting Montgomery there as a trade piece in the middle of the summer really has worked out well. That was a game, the Rangers-Orioles, that I got right, Joe. The game I got wrong yesterday, I thought the Twins had an advantage at home yesterday with Sonny Gray on the mound, and that advantage lasted all of like five batters as they were down 4-0 in the first inning on the way to a 9-1 victory over the Astros. That Twins lineup that has a lot of power in it, only three hits here. Just goes to show you, sometimes pedigree does win out. In a game I thought the Astros would lose, they won handily yesterday, Joe.
Well, and it was, you know, Sonny Gray had one bad inning, the first inning. That was it. He made a couple of terrible pitches, and next thing you know, they're down 4-0. And Minnesota is not necessarily, although you know, they hit the long ball very, very well, but they also struck out a whole lot and didn't put the ball in play. So they are not necessarily a great team to back when they are down and down right off the bat. Now, kudos to him. He did an amazing job. This was 4-0 for a majority of this game, and then they scrapped in a couple of extra runs, and then ultimately the ninth inning, it just blew up with another home run there, and it was, you know, next thing you know, it's 9-1, and you're like, all right, game is over. But that all started because they came ready to hit Houston early, and they did in the first, and that was it. They put them behind the eight ball. They are much better equipped playing from in front, getting hot, scoring first. They just couldn't do that against Javier yesterday, and kudos to the bullpen and the pitching for Houston. This is a team that has been there and done this, guys. Experience matters, and it mattered yesterday as Houston took it to them, and now we got to see what Minnesota has left in the tank.
Christian Javier, who was a part of the combined no-no that the Houston Astros threw last year on their way to winning a World Series, yesterday was darn good. Five innings of work, only allowing one hit. Shut out the Twins, of course, on the other side, striking out 9. This is a guy that had a 4.56 ERA this year. And a lot of people thought he was going to build on that postseason success to be the clear number two for Houston this year. After Justin Verlander signed with the Mets, of course, Verlander now back, traded to his former team by the Mets at the trade deadline. So as things stand, Germinary, it's game number 4. Tonight in the Twin Cities, the Astros one win away from clinching their 7th consecutive appearance in an ALCS set. The Twins trying to force a game number 5 and stay alive, heading back to Houston. Minnesota, a slight home money line favorite tonight. It's -126. Joe Ryan on the bump for Minnesota. Joe, on the other side for the Astros, it's Jose Urquidy. So, Ranieri, tell us, does Minnesota force a game number 5, or will it be lucky number 7 for the Astros with another trip to the American League Championship Series?
It's going to be very important that Joe Ryan keep Houston in check for as long as humanly possible. Now, it's going to be all, you know, it's going to be all hands on deck here for Houston. But, I mean, how much faith can you possibly have? Down 9-1. They've been a resilient team all season long, this Minnesota, even though they've played in a Triple-A division. They have been really, really good. The problem is they're also, you know, keep an eye on the weather. It's not going to be 95 in humidity and the ball's going to travel. This is a team that has been all year long scoring runs based upon the home run. It's a home run or it's a strikeout. Live by the sword, die by the sword. But, you know, you're quitting to your point is, he hasn't been great this year, but he's also been able to limit some of the damage. It was either him or Brown. So we're at the back ends of these rotations. Joe Ryan or Ober, and they used Ober yesterday, and he got lit up like a Christmas tree. So neither of these teams are sending out any aces. This is going to be, I think, maybe one of the higher scoring games on the card here today with everybody throwing the kitchen sink trying to get it to a game 5.
Yeah, sitting back leaning on the Astros, knowing Verlander will go in game 5 at home is a big advantage here. And also, you're right about that. There is no tomorrow. Hey, let's save a pitcher for the game 5. Yeah, good luck if you lose that game and saving a pitcher. It's not going to help you out. Let's flip it over to Citizens Bank Ballpark here in Philadelphia, the Atlanta Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies. This game comes down to me, a very good pitcher on the mound in Aaron Nola versus a very good lineup with the Atlanta Braves. When you saw that rust, I guess you could call for the Atlanta Braves in game number 1, they didn't score. For half of game number 2, they didn't score either. But it looks like the beast woke up here and got some confidence back as they head to Philadelphia. And you also brought up the point. We're not talking about August conditions here. 87 degrees, wind blowing out to left field. We're now going to be in the low 60s with a light wind blowing out to right field here. For the Atlanta Braves, I don't think they have the pitching matchup in their favor. I believe it's Nola, but you can't look past that Atlanta lineup hitting great pitching. They did it all summer long. But for me, it's the Philadelphia Phillies in this spot. I think they get that victory tonight, Joe. Where are you going tonight between the Braves and the Phillies?
It's going to be total bullpen day for them, is it not here? I mean, they were thinking about, they were thinking about Bryce Elder, who, you know, in the first half this year looked amazing. In the second half, he was throwing batting practice. This is rough for Atlanta. So the bats are going to have to get it done. I'm worried about Nola here. And yes, they do have the better pitcher on the mound, but you know, you've got to be able to miss bats at this time of year, which is what made Wheeler such an intriguing matchup in that game too. I was on Philadelphia. I was on him the first five. I was on him in the full game because you got to be able to miss bats. You can't let guys barrel you here. And unfortunately, Nola, not the same velocity, unlike Wheeler, who increased his velocity in the postseason. This is going to be, to me, a game in which get ready for some runs. I think the bats do come alive. I think both pitching has some issues here, both starting pitching. So this could be maybe a first five over for me because I don't trust either guy or either staff in this. And what happens if they can't go more than three innings, four innings? And all of a sudden that Philadelphia bullpen has to go into work. And then, oh boy, if they don't win this game and go into a game five, it's going to be very interesting to see here what everyone has left in order to be able to advance.
A total of nine today at the bank. It's the first baseball game up around a 5 p.m. Eastern time scheduled first pitch. So, Joe, after game number one, when Philly won 3-0 in Atlanta, the odds flipped. It was the Phils as a minus 158 outright favorite to win this version of the NLDS. Atlanta evens the series. They head to Philadelphia as the outright favorites once again, minus 152. Joe, where do you think the momentum is entering game three in that raucous atmosphere we are going to see tonight at Citizens Bank Ballpark?
I still think it's a coin flip. I really, really do here. And just when you thought it was safe to say, all right, Philadelphia's got Atlanta's number, what happened last game? They didn't have the number anymore, did they? And Atlanta, you just, that lineup 1-9 is ridiculous. And they're not too bad, Philadelphia themselves here. I mean, the fact that they got shut out at home for the first time all year and it happened in game one of the postseason is mind-numbing. But it took them a little while to get their rhythm and their timing. And when they did, you saw what happened there late in that game. Now they roll that. Can they take that on the road? Well, they did all year long, guys. Nobody was better on the road than the Atlanta Braves. So I don't think the atmosphere is going to be an issue. I would expect runs because Philadelphia has shown they're swinging the bat pretty well. They got guys that can take it deep. I think the team that can hit the most home runs wins this game. And good luck trying to figure out which one that is because they can both go yard at any particular time.
Be a fun one, be a fun atmosphere, no doubt about it. Let's take a look at the Snakes at home against the Dodgers, Joe. And how about this? The Dodgers probably thought they would be clinching on the road here. No, they might get clinched out of a playoff spot altogether here. Fogg's on the mound here for the Diamondbacks, and you take a look at Lance Lynn to save the season for the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers bats do wake up tonight, and they get a victory. Any thoughts from you here on the D-backs and the Dodgers?
Well, they better, and it better start at the top of that order because it better be Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman getting it rolling. Otherwise, this team is trouble. Could you imagine, like, the Dodgers, right at the trade deadline, trade for the guy that is going to – his start hinges their entire season in Lance Lynn, who hasn't pitched, guys, I don't believe, since the end of September. So it's been a little while since he's been out on the mound, and with him, it's either strikeout or home run. And Arizona puts the bat on the ball a lot. They're not exactly a great home run hitting team, although they have been in the playoffs. But the other guy there, what is it? People call him Fought, whatever it is. Let me buy a vowel. I will tell you this. Did not look great in that first game. And then he bailed him out, even though the Brewers got to him early. I think the Dodgers have to do the same thing and then hope they can hold on with Lance Lynn, where he has one of those 11 strikeout type of games. But good luck against this Arizona team, which plays great defense and puts the ball in play. They don't strike out an awful lot.
The D-backs a minus 550 favorite to win the series outright, despite the fact the Dodgers are a road favorite tonight in the desert to keep their season alive. The Braves, once again, the favorites to win the pennant. Arizona, one win away from being the first to clinch its spot in the NLCS. That's second best price. Joe Ranieri, we'll see you preview all of these games on Game Time Decision at 6 p.m. Eastern. We're back on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rounding out hour number two of the Early Line live on this Wednesday on Sports Grid. I am Ben. He is Donnie. And of course, this is the Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app, now available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. Scan the QR code on your screen. In a matter of moments, all of our info and insight available in the palm of your hand. DRS, it is necessary to have the Spiz Grizz app as you get ready for a triple header of action in postseason baseball. Five-star plays across the board today for postseason action here in October. But, Donnie, we already know one team that has clinched its spot in the ALCS. That's the Texas Rangers. The Astros one went away from making it seven straight appearances in the American League Championship Series. The Twins trying to get there, but they need two more wins, and they need to stave off elimination at home today. So of the three remaining teams in the American League, who's going to win the pennant? That was the question in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid TV on Twitter, who will win the American League? The three remaining teams, the Rangers, the Astros, and the Twins. And Donnie, as I see it, it's nearly a split decision between the two teams from the Lone Star State, the two in-state rivals, the two divisional foes, the Rangers and the Astros, around 43% for both Texas and Houston. Donnie, Minnesota not getting much love.
No, and they shouldn't be getting much love here after the game they had yesterday, but just hitting the refresh button. Do you know we are now in a dead heat? Rangers, Astros, 43.3% to 43.3% here. So I guess you get the added bonus of the Rangers. We already know they're in the League Championship Series. The Astros, we don't know yet if they're going to be in the League Championship Series. If you put this poll a little bit later today and the Astros win, then I'm pretty sure that's going to be a boon to the Astros. But how about that? A virtual tie here with the Twins running far behind at 13.3%.
Even down to the decimal point. That's what we bring you here on the Sports Grid Network in the Fade the Public poll. We'll continue to look at the American League and all around October next when Hour 3 starts in 55 seconds.